I want to just give us some really practical things. The thing that I needed to focus on was getting away from the rules that I had so faithfully made and working on relationship with my daughter, because that's all I had. That's all I had. She's gone. It doesn't matter what rule we have. She is out of there. Rules do not matter. I had to start working on, I had to give her a reason to want to be with me. And I'm not saying this is all about placating my daughter. Don't get me wrong. But I had to bring her into a relationship where I was a person that she wanted to be with. You know, there's just some people that you will drop everything to be with them because they are just, they fill you up. And there are some people like, oh no, I'm going to spend 2 hours with her today. Okay, I can do this. I can spend 2 hours with her. You know, I wanted to be the person she wanted to come to. And I had not earned that yet. I had turned everything into rules and had not given her a reason to be in the relationship. And I imagine there are so many kids like that today. A couple of years ago when I started back to school, I thought I'd be the invisible mom. And that would have been okay because, you know, I'm a mom. Who wants to hang out with me? But when I was at school, I was the mom. I was the student everybody wanted to talk to. This one girl would come into math class and sit down and just start rattling off, and of course she always came in right as the teacher was starting to teach, and just start talking to me nonstop. And she wasn't saying, oh, hi, Mrs. Garrison, you look really lovely today. No, she was telling me all the things she did the night before, how she and her cousin got so drunk they fell asleep on her bedroom floor, just like it's normal. And she talked all the way through math class. And it was the same. The guys talked to me as well. And I said to Katie, what is the deal? Why are these kids talking to me? She says, Mom, because no one listens to them, and you listen. Our kids want a mom in their lives, and everything I'm going to talk about this morning, your kids want it as well, even though they're acting like they don't. They want it. They have that mom-shaped hole in their heart, and there's only one person who can fill it, and it's not the old lady mom that goes to college with them. It's you. They want relationship with you, and it will take maybe years for you to see the results of what we're going to talk about today, but you will see the results. We're going to set the stage for relationship this morning, and everything that we want to do in our kids' lives is going to be based on the relationship that we build with them. And you may be thinking, oh, wait a minute, dude. Listen, you have no idea how involved I am with my kids, and I'm sure you are. Let me tell you a few things that your involvement is not doing to build relationship. These things don't build relationship with your kid. Anything, heading up anything kid-related. If you're in charge of the PTA, you're not building relationship with your child. If you're in charge of bringing, you know, snacks to soccer, you're not building relationship with your child. I'm not saying these things are bad, but these are not building relationship with your child. In fact, they actually might be doing the opposite, taking you away from time to build relationship with your child. You may be, oh, but I talk to her friends like they're one of my friends. That's not building relationship with your child. It's probably causing her to be solely embarrassed. Oh, but I'm at everything. I just hover over her and make sure she has her lunch, make sure her homework is this, that, never. I do everything for her. You're not building a relationship. You're teaching her to be dependent on you. You're not preparing her for the real world. That's not building a relationship. You, and in that same vein, you may be making her bed, picking up her dirty laundry, all things that she can and should do for herself. That is not building relationship with her. You may be the one that, oh man, that was an unfair grade on that test. They don't know. She had a headache all night. She couldn't possibly study for that test. I'm going to go talk to the teacher. Intervening at school for something like that, something that's not a real present danger to her, you're not teaching her real life, and you're not building relationship with her. Or maybe you faithfully drop them at church, drop them at youth group, drop them here, drop them there, and you think you're teaching and training them. That's not building relationship. There is no substitute for you, okay? Or you say, you know, I am always there. I'm always there. But you know what you're always there doing? Being present but always glued to your technology of some sort, that's not building relationship with your child. That's telling your child whatever is on the other end of that technology is more important than you. So I'm going to give you some practical simple ways to build relationship with your kid. So the first thing is be there. In order to set a stage for relationship, you can have a stage, but unless there is a person on the stage is fairly useless. You need to be there. You need to be physically present. When your kids are home, you are home. Okay? I know. Everybody needs to work. I get that. But we can adjust how and when we work, and we can say no to the other things in our lives that are not necessities. Because this season of parenting your kid is going to be over like that. It'll be over like that. I am 54 years old. I've raised my girls. They are out of the house. I cannot believe where the time went. Adjust your schedule accordingly to what is best for your kids. The second thing that we're going to have on our stage is warm lighting. Is this allowed if I light this? Oh, you guys have candles. Let me guess it is. Okay, so, and this is all represented. You do not have to have a candle in the room when you have time with your children, but we're just setting the stage, okay? So we're going to have a nice little warmly lit candle. I love the lighting in here. Very warm, very cozy. And this warm lighting is going to represent your attention. So not only do you have to be there, you have to be paying attention. They have to know they have your attention. One time when Carrie was, in junior high or I don't know when, she said to me, "Mom, I can always tell when you're listening to me and when you're not." I'm like, "Ah, what do you mean? I wrote the book on parenting. I am always listening to you." She says, no, I can tell. Because when you're not listening, you're going, They can tell when we're listening. Shut the technology. Get it out of the room if you have to. Let them know they are all yours. Now, I used to say folding the clothes for when the kids came home from school or maybe putting some cookies in the oven. I just didn't, like, hang on the bar going, "Talk to me. My day just doesn't start until you get here." I didn't do that. But they knew I could be interrupted. Okay? Folding clothes, we can all talk while we're folding clothes. Hey, why don't you help too? Be there. Be available. Give them your attention. The warm glow means your attention. The third thing, and I know these are great chairs because this is what you guys gave me, but if we could just imagine a big, cozy, overstuffed chair, something where the two of you can just like kick back and relax last year we got new living room furniture that we haven't had for over, 20 years. We had the same living room furniture for 20 years. And we had two long couches because you know what? Our kids are big and my son-in-law is 6'7". Their men are big. And we could go in there and sit down and kick back and talk and play games. And it's just an atmosphere of comfort, an atmosphere of safety. And from these chairs, you're going to listen. You listen with your ears, not with your lips. You're going to listen. And you're listening attentively. And you can ask a question to clarify, but you're going to listen. I love this quote from Dr. David Osberger. He's a pastor. And he says this, and I'm going to say it twice because this, I think, is just powerful. "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable." Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Don't you love being with somebody who really listens to you? Who isn't waiting to say their thing when you take a breath? You're going to listen. From these chairs, you are going to listen. You are beginning to create a safe space for relationship. You're beginning to earn your teen's trust. And if I had listened better to Katie, instead of trying to fix her, she needed to be fixed. She needed to be understood. When she was in junior high, I would have realized how the kids were being mean to her. Instead of assuming it was her being her introvert self, I would have been able to listen and hear how the kids were hurting her. I would have understood that she needed time for quiet and alone because she's an introvert and I am not, obviously. I would have understood that, you know what, she needs a certain amount of downtime. She needs a certain amount of quiet and space to create because she's very creative. So the next thing we're going to have on our stage is a soft throw. And you can just, this is the softest, warmest blanket in the world. Even though it has holes in it, it will make you sweat. So you are going to just drape this over your child and just, I thought about having somebody up here, but I wanted you to picture your child here if I don't set that on fire. And that blanket is going to represent your acceptance of your child, of who they are and where they are. Now, I would dare to imagine that if you have more than one child, at least one of those children is very different from you. And you're going, "I don't even know who you are." I have no clue how to relate to you. I don't even know the language you speak. And that's okay, because the gift you can give them is acceptance. This is who you are. And this is where you are in life. You know, one thing I really appreciate about my friends is I can process things with them, and when I finally figure something out, they don't go, oh, finally. So glad I had that figured out months ago. I'm glad you finally got here. They don't. They accept me for where I am. You know what? Isn't that what God does for us? He accepts us where we are. You know, I have this picture of Katie, and it's of a kindergarten picture, and she's so cute. And I have it on the refrigerator, and I keep it there. And through all of her difficult years, it helped me remember that kid is still in my kid. And your kid is still, your kindergartner is still in that 16-year-old or that 12-year-old with major attitude, still there. Still there, just dressed real ugly right now, but it's still there. Okay? And just to have the patience to accept them where they are, and remember, this is just temporary. This is just temporary. It will not last this way to be forever. Remember the grace and the mercy that God has shown you. Does God expect perfection from you? He does not. We can't expect perfection from our kids. Okay, the next thing we're going to add to our little setting, especially this winter, depending on what your kids like. You know, it seems like kids are drinking coffee younger and younger, so I don't know. Coffee, hot chocolate, something warm and cozy that's really going to make them settle in and be comfortable. And this is going to be your belief in them. I know, we talked about acceptance. Belief takes it another step further, because belief is saying to them, I know you can do this. I believe in you. Have you ever said that to your kid? I believe in you. What would it have meant to you as a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old or an 18-year-old to hear those words from one of your parents? I believe in you. It would have been huge. It would have been a call to better things, even though you had no clue what those were. It's like, somebody believes in me. I can do better. So the things that are really hard for our kids are the things that are turning them into stronger people, more competent people. And when we get in there and we get in their way and we try to pad it and make it better for them, we are robbing them of the opportunity to grow. To grow. Go to your room, cry, pray if you have to, but let your kids grow. There are times when we need to intervene on their behalf. I get that. But I think this generation, I'm sorry, I think we intervene way too often. Okay? Our kids, they can do it. They can do it. Okay, the next thing we're going to bring out is just a little something because I love you. Okay? When the kids were little, I would bring them home a pack of gum, their favorite kind of gum from school. And then when they went to college, I would start to mail them gum. And then I'd start to mail them just a little thing, Target dollar section. Yes, yes, love Target dollar section. But what is your kid's love language? It might not be little gifts. And maybe if you have guys, they're not really into that. I still do struggle a little bit speaking that to my son-in-law. But I did find these really cool pancake molds on the web, on the internet for Christmas of Star Wars for my son-in-law. He loves them. Son-in-law. And then for Christmas too, I also found this little candy dispenser, and it looked like a little squatty Darth Vader with a Santa Claus hat on. It was so funny. Are you picturing that? Darth Vader? I thought you'd be laughing more. Okay. Darth Vader with a little Santa Claus hat. Okay. And so I texted a picture to Katie because I knew she'd love it. So this was going in Caleb's stocking. And I said to Katie, hello, Luke. I am your father and Santa Claus too. That was so funny. That was so funny. She thought it was funny too. Anyway, but what is your kid's love language? We used to take the days off of school and go shopping. And I realized that's probably not a guy thing. And we didn't ever spend a lot of money, but it was just talking and walking and all that kind of thing. Maybe your son wants to learn to cook. Maybe do that together. Maybe it's going to a movie. Maybe it's going to a concert. Take your earplugs. Go to the concert. What speaks your kid's love language? And that's one of your recommended readings, is get the love language book if you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But what says to your child, I care about you. I love you. What pours into them? Maybe it's just little notes, little cards. What? I don't know what it is, but figure it out. That's your job. You're their mom. Give them, speak their love language a lot, okay? Okay, then the next thing is, pom-poms. Okay, be your kid's cheerleader. And I know you're going, oh my word, if you only knew what I'm going home to today. There is nothing good in my kid's life right now. Find something. Find something and compliment her on it. Compliment him on it. Encourage him. Find something. We have been to so many concerts because the kids were musical in high school. Not so much athletic, but very much musical. And we've been to so many art exhibits. Okay, I get it. People were born naked. I know you can draw a naked body and take a photograph of it. I am just sick of seeing naked people. It's like, because they can now, they will. You know, it's like, okay, we're out of high school. We can do naked people. But we go. Do I get art? Do I have to be very careful about what I say when I'm there? Because I will say something that will offend someone. Not trying to, but it's almost like a sacred place, this art show. But so we go, and we encourage, and we stand back, and And we listen to Katie talk to us, and her friends talk to us and tell us. And we are there pouring into them with our presence and our affirmation and our shut mouths and our open ears. You'd be the same way. But we're doing it for her, okay? The next thing is a little dish of candy. Now, literally, this is a good idea, okay? Food is a great idea, but this candy is going to represent your sweet speech, okay? Your sweet, now I am going to let you talk, okay? Your sweet speech, but you are going to keep your negative comments to yourself, okay? You're going to keep your little digs and your little manipulations to yourself, okay? If you want to say something very clever, call your friend when the kids are out of the house and tell them what you were thinking, but don't say them to your kids. Okay? Because when you do, you are destroying their trust. Now, if there is an issue that needs to be dealt with, deal with it and then move past it. How do you like it when you go to see someone, maybe someone you're related to, and all they can do is bring up your past or bring up how you relate or bring up all of your shortcomings, which you are so very aware of? Do you like that? I hate that. I don't want to be around people like that. Let your speech be sweet. Let your kid learn they can trust. When they come in the kitchen, they are not going to get bombarded because guess what? They're not going to come in the kitchen. They're not going to seek out mom because she's going to have something to say. Let your speech be sweet to them. And then the last thing we're going to put on here, this represents a game. This is Bananagrams. I used to be able to beat the kids at this game, but not anymore. You know what it is? You guys, it's kind of like Scrabble, like everybody plays their own little, okay. But what are their interests? Be interested in their interests. I talked about the art show. My kids are really into games. My husband and I, not so much, but guess what we do now? Play games. We stay up late as we possibly can. What are their interests? Get involved where they are interested. I know it's more to do. I know it is. But without relationship, ladies, you have nothing. Without relationship, you have nothing. You have no influence, you have no way to help, and you definitely have no way to hold the door open to God to say, this is a God who loves you and who died for you and will always, always be there for you even when I can't be. We have no way to do any of that unless we have relationship. And that's what I thought about. That's where God turned me around. So many years ago when Katie walked out the door and did not care how loudly it banged behind her. You only get one chance with these kids. One chance. I'm not saying you can't continue to build relationship and make a difference in their lives and in your grandkids and all of that, but they will never be living in your house day in and day out. You're doing their laundry. You're cooking their food. You're picking up after them on certain days when you just can't say it one more time. That's only going to happen for a very much shorter time. And I do want to make you sad because I want you to know that day is coming. Because when I was sitting where you are, nobody told me that. And you think this is going to go on forever, but it's not. There will be consequences for not pouring into our kids in this season of life. I am not giving you an A plus B equals C formula. What I'm saying is this is the stage from which you will parent. If you do not have a relationship with your kids, all your other efforts are pretty useless. They're pretty useless. Okay, it is also the area you are going to regret shortchanging. You're going to regret this the most if you shortchange this. you will regret it the most. This is where it's happening for you right now. Again, I'm not saying you can't do other things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying be mindful of what you put on your plate, of how, where and when you need to be home or available or with or for your kids or whatever, because they want you there. They want you there. It will take time. You're setting the stage. You're setting the stage. It's a process. It's not a quick fix, okay? You're going to go home, and you're going to start doing some of this stuff, and your kid is not going to act any differently. It is a process. Years, years before we started to see change in Katie. But you know what? She always came home. About every other weekend, she always came home. And you know what? I have messed up plenty raising my kids. God alerted me. The relationship is more important than anything. It wasn't my rules. It wasn't my way of doing things. And the pursuing of it hasn't always been easy, because the older she's gotten and the more independent on her own, which is rightly so, I've had to keep my mouth shut. She still makes some decisions we don't agree with, but we keep our mouth shut. And again, she's an adult. She's on her own. Now, I'm not saying this about high school kids, but we have to learn how to do relationships so that we're not being abrasive, but we're earning the right to be heard so we can say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. Save it for those times. So where is Katie today? She's 27. As I said, she's at grad school, first year of grad school at IU, Indiana. As I was putting the finishing touches on this, she was driving home to spend spring break with her mother. She's 27 years old. Of course, she has no money to go anywhere else, but but her friends were staying at school and working. She could have stayed there and worked. She has plenty of work to do all through spring break. But she worked ahead so she could come home and spend time, and then we went up and saw my other daughter at her college. We love spending time together as a family. It's a priority for all of us now. She's proud of me, and I am proud of her. We continually set the stage for relationship. When the kids come home, I'll be going to Costco and loading up on all kinds of fruits and vegetables because everybody's trying to diet now. Getting the rooms ready. They come home, we'll start doing laundry for them because they do it, but I like to help. We continually set the stage for relationship, and they continually want to come back. And no, there's lots of times. The kids are all, they get aggravated with each other. They get aggravated with Gene and I. We get aggravated with them. It's life. It's just life. But we're doing it. We're in relationship, and we're doing it. And that is the way we have influence, because without relationship, we have nothing. No influence, no way to help, and no way to hold the door open to God.
You've been listening to author and national speaker Brenda Garrison. For more information, visit brendagarrison.com.